Scripture this morning is John chapter 6, verses 32 through 40. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those who he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you. So this is World Communion Sunday. I have gathered together. There's some folks that want to extend greetings to you on this World Communion Sunday, and so let's watch as they offer you a greeting this morning.
Hey, Lebanon, I'm Pastor Charity Goodwin. I'm at the gathering in St. Louis. I bring you greetings from there and just from our connection as a whole. I pray God's peace, God's communion and unity on you all as you celebrate World Communion Sunday today.
Good morning. On behalf of your friends and neighbors, your brothers and sisters in Christ with the First Christian Church Disciples of Christ of Lebanon, Missouri, I bring you greetings on this World Communion Sunday. It's our prayer that as you share together in the blessing of his love and mercy as expressed through the Lord's table, that you also are encouraged in the confidence and the trust that you are not alone. We stand with you in the grace and knowledge of him who loves us most, best, and always. May his peace and blessing be yours through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, friends at First Church. Welcome to this World Communion Sunday. Bring you greetings from the conference office. My name is Mark Sheets, and I hope you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning in worship.
Hey, First UMC Lebanon, I'm Andy Blackshire, and I'm a pastor at Manchester United Methodist Church. It is so great to be in connection with you on this World Communion Sunday, and I just pray that you have a blessed and an awesome day of worship.
Good morning, First United Methodist Church Lebanon. My name is Neil Wilkinson. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak Pond Cumberland Presbyterian Church. I'm also friends of Marcia and Jim, your pastors. They are beloved friends of mine. It's my pleasure to be friends with them and to help them feel younger by being a younger person in their life. I bring you greetings on World Communion Sunday from the folks here at White Oak Pond Church, where we will also be celebrating communion at this World Communion Sunday. This is our communion table where our folks will be gathered to join Christ at the table. And we too remember that this is not our table, it's not White Oak Pond's table. It's the table of our Lord. And so this morning, as we gather there, as you gather at your table, may we be reminded that we are brothers and sisters in this family through our brother, Jesus, who calls us as sinners to the table. So may you experience the love of Jesus this morning as you celebrate communion, and may you also experience the love and the communion of all your brothers and sisters in Christ here at White Oak Pond and throughout the world. Blessings to you all.
Hi, this is Reverend Kim Pulchow from Marshfield United Methodist Church, sending out greetings to you on World Communion Sunday there at Lebanon UMC from behind your van. Hope you have a great World Communion Sunday as we join together in worship today.
Hey, First United Methodist Lebanon, I'm so grateful for you. I'm excited that you're part of the United Methodist Church and your long history of ministry and mission in the community and the world. And on this World Communion weekend, I pray that you'll experience Christ's presence as you gather for communion. And I appreciate your pastor and very grateful for you. God bless you.
Yeah. Yeah. For those of you that didn't know, that was Pastor Adam Hamilton of, and he all our book studies, right? The Adam Hamilton book studies. That was him, and so I cornered him where he couldn't get away from me. We actually spent some time at their leadership institute, their leadership conference. It was this last week, and so that's where I got a number of those videos, but especially that last one of Adam Hamilton. My wife, when I sent her the video of Adam right away, and she goes, was that kind of like, you know, meeting Taylor Swift for you? You know, like you actually got Taylor Swift to make a video for you? And I was like, who's Taylor Swift? That was Adam Hamilton, right? I know who Taylor Swift is. And yes, that was, huh? Because of Travis Kelce, because she's dating a Chiefs player, is why I know her. They send greetings to us on this World Communion Sunday. I did think it was interesting, too, and I really appreciated this. Pastor Greg Turner with the Disciples of Christ Church was, you know, I kind of sent these requests out all around the same time. Pastor Greg was the very first person to respond and to send back. The Disciples of Christ actually began out of an ecumenical movement. The Disciples of Christ denomination, really more than any other denomination, stands for unity in the church. And so I thought it was especially cool that he was very first. And then Marcia and I, of course, appreciated Pastor Neil's comment about him keeping us young, because he's the young guy, so it was good. And I did notice, too, that, you know, the local churches, it was interesting, sent the longer greeting, you know, because they know us more than the others and have that connection. So today we're remembering all God's children. All God's children from all kinds of different denominations and backgrounds and faith. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about some of our differences at the communion table. And Molly kind of front-loaded that conversation, talking about kind of the nuts and bolts of communion and what that looks like, and bread and juice and wine and cups and wafers and loaves. And I'm going to talk a little bit just here before we take communion about beliefs and some belief differences, but ultimately how we're the same and how we're the same people coming to the table. And so I'm going to use your help in this today. So I'm going to think back to the first institutional church. The first institutional church is, of course, the Catholic Church. Catholic Church, oldest, goes back the furthest. How many, do I have some people here who spent some time in a Catholic church, have some Catholic background? Yeah, Methodists, we're a mixed bag, right? And so we generally have some folks that have some Catholic background. Hopefully some of you went through confirmation class and learned about all the different things that occur in the Catholic Church. But when Catholics come to the communion table and they have the Eucharist, as they more commonly refer to it, the priest lays his hands over the Eucharist and something amazing happens, miraculous happens. And in the Catholic Church, they have a word for that occurs. Who knows that special word of what's happening there? Yeah. What's the word? Transubstantiation, right? And in transubstantiation, the priest puts his hands over the loaf of bread and the cup of wine, and what happens when he prays for it? It becomes the body and blood of Christ, quite literally, right? It's in some ways, it's a miracle. It's a miracle that is performed. And of course, in the ancient world, people came from miles and miles and miles to a Catholic service to see the miracle of the priest performing over the communion. So literally becomes the body and blood of Christ. Of course, where do they get that? Well, they get that from the Gospel of John, like this whole passage we just read. Like Jesus is saying, my food, my body is real food for you. My blood is real drink for you. And so do of this. And so the Catholic Church, the oldest church, takes that passage very quite literally, and that is what is happening. So we back off of those who have some Catholic background a little bit. The first denomination popping out of Catholicism is out of the Lutherans, Luther. And so do I have any people with some Lutheran in their background? Got some Lutherans out there. I have some Lutheran in my background, German heritage, right? And so the Lutherans come off that a little bit. They've got a word too. Does anybody know the word that they use when communion happens? Any of you remember what that word might be? Consubstantiation. Consubstantiation. And so it's a little bit different, right? What they believe is that the pastor gets up, you know, puts hands over it, and it does not become literal, but it still stays the bread and the juice, but the presence of Jesus Christ comes into those things. And so still actually bread, still actually juice, but the Spirit of Christ is there and present with them, right? And so that's what's happening in the Lutheran church. And we're not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to lump this next group kind of together. Like Baptist Assemblies of God, kind of evangelicals. Do I have some folks that come out of some of those tradition today? Baptist Assembly of God, evangelical churches? Yeah. So it gets a little bit different there, right? Because once again, you come further and further off the timeline, and what you see is a looser and looser understanding. And so they tend to not even, we would call what is happening today a sacrament in the Methodist Church, Lutheran Church, Presbyterian Church, Catholic Church. Once you back off of that a little bit, they don't use the phrase sacrament anymore. Do you know what word they tend to use for those maybe Baptist? What would communion be called? It'd be called an ordinance. They would call it an ordinance of the church. And so in all those other churches I listed, it's generally the pastor that performs the sacrament. But in those different groups, it's like anybody can perform baptism and communion because it is an ordinance of the church. And what they would say is what's happening at the table is symbolic. It's symbolic of what's happening in Scripture and what happened in Jesus' life. It is just, it's a symbol is what it is. So that's kind of that whole group and what they're doing this morning. Now we get to, let's go to us. How many lifelong Methodists do I have here today? Lifelong Methodists. All right, of course, that's kind of the larger group is the Methodist lifers. Who can tell me, when I put my hands over the bread and the cup, what happens? Anybody want to take a shot at it? Like, what's going on there? So, what? I thought I heard something. A blessing? I'm offering a blessing? I am doing that, very much so. What? Consecrating it, and a blessing. So, the quietness in the room actually speaks for something. Because the language that we often use when we talk about communion is actually mystery. Which, you know, I don't know, that fills you with a lot of confidence. But we say, you know, it's really a mystery. We're far enough away from Catholics and Lutherans and things like that. We're like, you know, and Wesley came out of a practice that was probably somewhere closer to what Catholics and Lutherans kind of practice. And so as we've kind of come off that even more, We say what happens when we do this is kind of a mystery to us. And we actually have a document. It was created, I think, in the 90s. It took that long. Like, Methodism had been around for a long time, and it wasn't until the 90s that somebody said, hey, we should probably formulate and clarify a little more accurately what we're doing at the communion table. And so the document is called This Holy Mystery. And you can Google it. You can get online today, United Methodist, This Holy Mystery. It's a 41-page document, if you've got some time. I'm not going to read it for you today. But it's a 41-page document about what United Methodists believe when we go to the communion table, when the pastor places his or her hands over those elements, consecrate, blesses, what's going on there. But when you get towards the end, though, the focus in that document, because I have read it, is about unity. Yeah, I have to read. Had to read it. It's about unity in the church, and that is actually what is of most importance to us, and that is why our communion table is so open, because even though we're not the disciples of Christ, we're pretty close in how we take communion, because we, you know, it's kind of cool that you can bring anybody to church from any background, ultimately, and when we have communion, you can always tell them, you are welcome to be a part of this. You are welcome to come up and receive today. And what's challenging is that you go with your friend to their church, and you might sit down and be told, you don't get to take, right? Because this is for our folks, and they might, you know, but for ours, it's that unity spirit. And so I'm just going to read one little section, page 37 here, of it, just one small part. Page 37 says, in its constitution, the United Methodist Church affirms its ecumenical commitment. As part of the church universal, the United Methodist Church believes that the Lord of the church is calling Christians everywhere to strive towards unity, and therefore it will seek and work for unity at all levels of the church life. And so even though we have differences, we want to move towards unity together. That is our goal and our hope. And so this morning, that's what I ask, is when you receive communion this morning, would you let unity be on your mind? Would you let unity be on your heart? Let's desire oneness in the church, in the big church. And remember our scripture reading. This is one of the passages that was read from our scripture reading. For my Father's will is that everyone looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I, being Jesus, I will raise them up on the last day. Raise up all that look to Him. And so before receiving communion today, I wanted to give us just a little amount of time. I want you to meditate and pray. Just spend a minute thinking about all the different people taking communion this morning. Some of those groups that welcomed us, maybe some friends and family you have, people you know overseas, people in different groups. I want you just to get that image. I want you then to get an image of us all being together someday, all unified together, not squabbling about what the bread means and what the cup means and what happens to it, but there will be a day where God will clarify all of this for us, and we will partake of Him in fullness. And then let that just lead to a time of prayer, of unity for the church. Heidi's just going to play something in the background for us. I would invite you to bow and to spend just a moment meditating on unity for the church. This morning we gather around a table, the Lord's table, and we remember the meal in which Christ sat with his disciples, in which they shared the Passover together, and remembered his connection to them, what he was called to do, even forecasting a little bit of what was going to happen. And we give thanks for this time, and we give thanks for Christ's memory and for what Christ did for us. And we take this loaf and we break it. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he gave thanks to you, he broke the bread, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to you, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And if we would pray together. Heavenly Father, it is a great mystery what is happening, but we know that you are present here with us, that you have done this thing for us because of your great for the love of the church, and that you call us to come forward and to receive these elements today as spiritual sustenance for us, that your Spirit is here in these things, that you will preside in us as we receive it. And so we give you thanks for this bread and for this cup. We ask that your blessing be upon them. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.